Hey, everybody. It is another edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network, as we get set for week one of the 2016 high school football season. But there's so much more than that that we will talk about right here on this edition of the podcast. It is so good to have you with us. Thanks for making Central Region Now a part of your weekly routine for the last two seasons and now into our third. This show began as a radio show on Monday nights on WHAN Radio back in 2013. And we took it from the radio and we made it into a podcast because we were able to do a lot more with it. You didn't have to listen on a certain day at a certain time. And we also greatly expanded the format to talk much, much more than what was then high school football. As, of course, Central Region Now is produced by the RBA Sports Network throughout the year from August through June. Several things to get to on this midweek edition of the podcast. Rob Witham along with you. Thank you for being with us. Number one is to remind you, as we told you at the end of our first podcast of the season when we announced our broadcast schedule for the game of the week, is that we'll have two podcasts per week, one middle of the week, and then, of course, our post-Friday night football wrap-up podcast, which comes out just after midnight each Friday night during the football season, and that goes into the postseason as well. So starting this Friday night and going for about the next 14 weeks, you can expect a little after midnight the most comprehensive look at Friday night high school football anywhere in Central Virginia. If you're up late and still jazzed from the game, you can download or stream the podcast then. If you were like me, maybe if I wasn't doing this as a vocation, and maybe you hit the hay by 11:30 or 12, maybe after on the sidelines from NBC 12, you can always start your Saturday morning with a cup of coffee and Central Region Now, and we'll get you caught up on everything that's happened each Friday night following football. So make sure you're with us for that. Friday nights are an experience. If you're a freshman in high school, if you're new to the RVA Sports Network, just moved into the area, or you've been here forever and you just discovered us, you'll find that Friday nights are crazy with us, especially during football season, but all season long. We keep you posted on what's happening in-game with our Twitter network, our main network Twitter feed, which covers sports across the central region, across the Richmond area, is at the RVA Sportsnet. That's at the RVA Sportsnet. And then, of course, our county-centric Twitter feeds, where we give you hyper-local coverage like nobody else does. In Hanover County, it's at Hanover Sports. In Henrico County, it's Henrico Sports. And in Chesterfield County, it is Chesterfield Sports. But on Twitter, it's spelled the letter C, Field Sports. Because, unfortunately, you can only have 15 characters in a Twitter handle. And Chesterfield Sports has more than 15 letters. So it's at Seafield Sports. But if you look up Chesterfield Sports on Twitter, you will find us there. So you can follow your favorite team in hyper-local style. And you can keep up with what else is happening across the central region. You can follow one Twitter feed. You can follow two. Many people follow two. The RVA Sportsnet. And then wherever their local school is, where their community is, be it in Hanover, Henrico, or Chesterfield counties if you're in the suburban areas. And a lot of people just follow the RVA Sportsnet to get all the coverage. Whatever you'd like to do, hey, we're here for you. And that's Twitter. Throughout Friday nights, we keep you posted on score updates and whatnot, while, of course, we are broadcasting the live game of the week, not only on the RVA Sports Network online, but on WHAN Radio, 102.9 FM and 1430 AM. We get back on WHAN next Friday, and we'll talk a little bit about our broadcast schedule for the next week or so coming up later on in this podcast. So hope you will utilize all the services that the RVA Sports Network provides. If you're on Facebook, we're there with RVA Sports Network. We have special pages for both Hanover and Henrico County as well. And, of course, for those of you in Hanover County, we wrap up our coverage every week with writing the entire sports section weekly for the Hanover Herald Progress newspaper that comes into your mailbox if you're a subscriber on Thursday morning. Or you can pick it up at your favorite store across Hanover County on Thursdays. You need to subscribe. Best 75 cents you'll spend every week at 804-798-9031. Or you can go to herald-progress.com. herald-progress.com. All right. First things first on this edition of the podcast is we wanted to preview a bit about football 2016, and that is to release the first, the preseason edition of the NBC 12 RVA Sports Network Big 12 High School Football Poll. You'll note we started last year. We expanded our poll weekly from 10 to 12 teams. Number one, hey, from a marketing standpoint, why wouldn't NBC 12 want to have a Big 12 high school football poll? And number two, we could do it because the quality of play here in the Central Region is absolutely fantastic. And we have usually, at least, if not more than 12 teams, at least in the second round of the postseason. And then a significant number of those get into the third round of the five-week march to the championship. A lot of the reasons why we wouldn't have more is because we have so many Richmond teams logged in one region, and that one, of course, being 5A South. So let's look at the first RVA Sports Network NBC 12 Big 12 High School Football Poll. It was really interesting. It's my responsibility once all the votes have been sent in by the voters of the poll to tabulate them and get the final results together. And then I ship them to Mark Davis, sports director at NBC 12, so that he can have them up and running on their website, NBC12.com. And of course, they release the polls each week on NBC 12 News. It will be usually, I believe, on Tuesdays, but that may not be set in stone. We may be doing it Mondays. We'll find out. And when we get a schedule on that, of course, we'll let you know on Twitter. But the initial Big 12 came out on Tuesday night on NBC 12 News, and here it is. Are you ready? All right, we will start at the bottom and, of course, work our way to the top. And begin at number 12 with one of the surprise teams from the Central Region last season. Leading off the poll at number 12, Coach Ryan Turnage and the Lee Davis Confederates. They finished 9-3 in their breakout season 2015. And now they're back with perhaps the best running back in the Central Region in Nathan Evans. And behind an offensive line that mostly returns for Lee Davis this year. Where they've lost in terms of offense is their skill positions. On defense, they've lost some in the back seven. Due to graduation. Chase Mumaw, now the former quarterback, now a walk-on at Virginia Tech. Zach Lass will look to spell him. They're going to have to look for some new targets at wide receiver. They lose, of course, the big two-way player, the tight end, and the lineman Sam Tanner to graduation. Billy Kemp, who was a critical part of their wide receiving core, has transferred to Highland Springs. And so Kemp will be a part of the Springers this year. Would have played a pretty big role in the Confederates' passing game. But Coach Turnage, he's always got the next man up attitude, no doubt about that. And we're looking forward to seeing if Lee Davis can duplicate what they did last year. That's going to be difficult because of some of the key people that they miss from graduation, Tanner being a huge role. And they've got to stay healthy, too, because depth could be an issue. But Lee Davis kicks off our poll at number 12. Number 11, after starting 9-0 last year, they faced Hermitage in the regular season finale and lost, and then they lost to the Lee Davis Confederates in their first-round matchup. Looking to get back to the playoffs and try to win their first playoff game in a couple of years are the Rebels of Douglas Freeman High School. And, of course, it's been a very difficult training camp and practice time for the Rebels due to the untimely and very tragic death of Frankie Woolwine, a member of the football team, most notably a member of the lacrosse program there at Douglas Freeman in that automobile accident a couple of weeks ago. Great moment last week when Freeman went to Mechanicsville to scrimmage Lee Davis. Of course, you'll recall back in April, Lee Davis lost a then senior and a graduate of the school in an accident as well back on April the 23rd. Dylan Ballard, greatly remembered by the football team, and they had a joint moment of silence, two teams that certainly can understand and help each other through their times of loss and grief. And so Douglas Freeman will come in with hearts heavy, but they come back with lots of experience beginning at quarterback. And so the Rebels, they've become a team under Coach Henderson where you just know they're going to be in contention. The question is, when are they going to pick up that signature win? Now, that first one that kind of noted that the Rebels had arrived was when they beat Atlee back in week three of the 2013 season. Of course, by the time we got to the second round of the playoffs that year, in that memorable year for the Raiders, they had the home field. Freeman came in, nicked up. Their starting two running backs were out due to injury, and Atlee got the victory. And, of course, Atlee got it because they played better that night. We were there. We broadcast that game. Didn't have anything to do with any excuses on the Rebels' part whatsoever. But Douglas Freeman wants to do more than just kind of run the table in the Colonial and then have to deal with Hermitage and then, you know, go from there. They want to make a statement. They want to go far in the playoffs. And, of course, that's hard to do in 5A South. That's for sure. But the good news is for Douglas Freeman, their schedule is pretty good first half of the season so that they can kind of build momentum. They'll start this Friday at Midlothian. Then they go home and host James River next Thursday the 1st. Then they're off the first Friday after school starts, which isn't such a bad thing. And then they have to go to Atlee on the 16th, and that'll be our game of the week on September 16th. Our week four game of the week is Douglas Freeman at Atlee. So we'll see these Rebels in action. Then in consecutive weeks, they host John Marshall and Thomas Jefferson. And then October, they have three road games at Glen Allen October 7th, then at J.R. Tucker. They host Deep Run on the 21st. And then the back end of the schedule is tough for Freeman. They've got an improved Mills-Godwin team. And, of course, that's a rivalry game to begin with. Freeman-Godwin, just throw everything out the window. It really doesn't matter whether one, both, or none are in playoff contention. That one's for fighting words and for supremacy. And they have to go to Axel Stadium on the 28th of October. And then they get to go home and the Hermitage Panthers come in for that Week 11 regular season finale where playoff seeding in 5A South could be on the line. So a good way for the Rebels to get settled and in. They'll get an early test at Atlee. And then by about Week 8, If they're rolling, you know, we're looking at a team that they pulled off a 9-1 last year. Could they be 8-0 going to Godwin on the 28th of October? Not making any predictions here, just asking some hypothetical questions. They certainly have, in terms of talent, what it will take to get the job done. Now, can they get over that hump? And can they beat a Hermitage? Can they win a Colonial District mythical title? Can they get that win and get to the second round in 5A like they did in 2013? Douglas Freeman at number 11 in our Big 12 high school football poll. Number 10, a team that was very interesting last year. They had their struggles. They had their ups for sure. And they had their ups when it mattered most. And that was at the very end of the regular season. And then a nice playoff run for the Titans of Cosby. Cosby is always competitive. In the decade that Cosby football has been around, there's been maybe one season where Cosby was just ineffective. I'm talking maybe one. I mean, early on, back in the latter part of the 2000s, when they had just been around a year or two, the Titans were a team to be reckoned with, a team to be dealt with. And even though they struggled last year and they had to put on a big comeback, remember that game against James River, a rivalry game in and of itself, late in October, where basically the winner stayed alive in the 6A South playoff race and the loser, their season effectively was over. Cosby won that game. Then they had Manchester in the regular season finale, and they beat Manchester. And what it gave them was another battle with Manchester in the first round of the 6A South postseason, and they won that game. They ended up being eliminated by Thomas Dale in the 6A state quarterfinals. Their schedule is very interesting. It's tough to begin with. They host Thomas Dale Friday night in their annual starting game. They've played each other opening night the last few seasons. And then a road trip or two to be, I don't think I'd say to be envied. This is a rough little gauntlet here. You host Thomas Dale. And then on Friday the 2nd, you go to Metoica, who we'll see and have on the game of the week this Friday against Manchester. And then the following Friday, you have to go to Monacan, who has become their own power in 4A. And so Cosby, right off the bat, with three tough games. They'll go back home to host Midlothian on the 16th. They'll be idle on the 23rd. They'll get back to Dominion District action for the rest of the season with Clover Hill at home on the 30th of September. They host Huguenot the following week, and then October 14th, they have to go to L.C. Byrd. Cosby has never beaten L.C. Byrd in school history. Could this be the year Joe Hunt and company finally do it? October 21st, they host James River in that annual rivalry game. And then after George Wythe on the 28th, they have to go to Manchester on the final night of the regular season, November 4th. Would that game, again, be for playoff positioning? Could it be a game where one person's in, one person's out? Remains to be seen. But Joe Hunt, who of course is getting multiple offers at the Division I level, including a couple of in-state schools, the Monarchs of Old Dominion, the Dukes of James Madison, Joe Hunt and company. We'll see how things go for the Cosby Titans. They are number 10 in our poll. At number 9, it is from 3A, the Hopewell Blue Devils. It's Cameron Hill is back, and with him under center, things will be just fine on the offensive side. Of course, don't forget there's a guy by the name of Walker in the backfield who may not be such a bad man as well. He could be the area's top junior running back, quite frankly. No doubt about that, and certainly recruiting is coming to him big time as well. So weapons offensively, yes. Can the defense make sure that Hopewell doesn't have to win shootouts every week? You don't want to have to win every week 42-35. And so if the defense can come and play good, solid ball, hold opponents under 20 points, Hopewell's going to be in great shape. But they've got that Central District schedule, and it's the good and the bad of that, in that you are going to be facing the Thomas Dales and the Meadowbrooks and the Metoacas and the Dinwiddies. And so you're going to get battle-tested. But when you get to the postseason and you move into 3A East, you're going to start playing some teams that have not had a chance to have their iron get sharpened by that kind of iron. And Hopewell made it all the way to the state semis last year, and there is no reason to believe they can't go back to that and even do more. This could be a very special season at Myrner Field. The Hopewell Blue Devils are at number 9. And a game just to kind of circle on your calendar, the same night where we will be with Hanover at Atlee on the game of the week, Hopewell hosts Dinwiddie, and that should be a phenomenal matchup. Dinwiddie's up later here in our Big 12 high school football poll. So far, it's Lee Davis at 12, Douglas Freeman at 11, Cosby at 10, Hopewell at 9, and now number 8, a perennial power in 4A. Prior to that, they had found a way to make the playoffs every year since 2006. They've done it 10 years in a row, under two different head coaches, first in division, the old Division 5 format of Group AAA. They've won regional titles in 2007, 2009, 2011, and 2012. And now they look to go further than they've done before. The Hawks of Hanover High School. And of course, when you talk Hanover, it begins with Clayton Cheatham, their quarterback, who missed 8 games due to injury last year, came back, played during 2 of the 3 postseason games. They made it to the 4A state quarters, and we took the trip down to Norfolk with them to see them battle and ultimately fall to Lake Taylor to have their season come to a close. Hanover would love to finally break through and get into that 4A state championship game that they were just one win away from getting to on 4 past occasions. Again, those were back in the Division 5 Group AAA format, but still a win away from the state championship. They'd like to get further than that this year. Now, a lot of it's going to depend upon how well Clayton has developed as a passing quarterback so there can be some dual threats so you can make sure the teams can't, you know, just pile 8-9 in the box and hone in on Clayton in the running game, number one. Number two, there was a whole lot of firepower lost to graduation along the offensive line. The anchor, Joe Fishpaw, now at Campbell University. And several others as well have now departed. But head coach Derek Stout is an offensive line guy. That's his bread and butter. And at Hanover, they don't have to replace. They reload. They preach that. And Josh Just, even before that, preached the toughness of the offensive line. Want proof? Remember, go back to some of their first playoff teams. Their quarterback was Josh Wells. Do you know what Josh is doing now? He's an offensive lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars in the National Football League. That's the toughness that Hanover has just bred for years and years and years. And so they're going to be competitive. They got, of course, a gauntlet of a Capital District schedule to have to worry about. And that's going to prepare them for the postseason. What you don't want it to have happen is they have a few too many losses and you find out that, you know, you've got to go to Dinwiddie, for example. You know, last year, one of the reasons why the Hawks were successful in the postseason was because they had home field advantage in the first two rounds. Louisa had to come to them. Dinwiddie had to come to them. It was only when they reshuffled the deck in 4A East and they switched over the brackets in the state quarterfinal where Hanover found themselves kind of on the short end of the stick having to go to Power Lake Taylor. And the second half comeback fell short. This year, they'd love to play some more games at their home, even though they struggled at home last year, ironically enough, until postseason play. Of course, they open at home with Dinwiddie. That big 4A matchup on our Game of the Week next Friday night on WHAN 102.9 FM, 1430 AM, and live online here at the RVA Sports Network. They go to J.R. Tucker on the 9th of September, and then they host Hopewell on the 16th. That's going to be another big game and a great test for Hanover's defense. If they have trouble with Dinwiddie on the 2nd, they may have trouble with Hopewell on the 16th. And it will be tough for Hanover to get a good 4A East seeding if they go to Atlee for our Game of the Week September 23rd and they're 1-2. They need to win two of their first three games, which means they've got to get a home win over one of the top teams in the area, either a Dinwiddie, whose name we've not called yet in our poll, or number 9, Hopewell. And then following that, we mentioned the game at Atlee on the 23rd. They go to Patrick Henry on the 30th. We'll have them there for the Game of the Week. And then they have to go to Highland Springs the following week. Middle of that schedule is difficult. Weeks 3-6, Hopewell at home, at Atlee, at PH, at Highland Springs. Then they finally get to go home to face Verina. They have to go to Lee Davis. They finish at home with Armstrong. And then their final night of the regular season, they have to go to Henrico. Hanover has arguably one of the toughest schedules in the Central Region. And one of the reasons why is because the difficulty of their non-district schedule. The Hawks, number 8 in our Big 12 poll. At number 7, a team we will see and have live on the season premiere of the football game of the week Friday night here on the RVA Sports Network, the Lancers of Manchester High School. Injuries hurt them badly in 2015, especially late in the season. But all of that is taken care of. Brendan Clark, back, just a sophomore. And the ACL no longer an issue. He's ready to go. Frank Boyd, back in the lineup at tailback. Receivers, how about Elijah Connor and Jonathan Rose? Yeah, they're okay. And three of their top five linemen are back from 2015. The offense is going to be great shape. The defense returning 7 guys, they'll be fine too. Manchester has a bad taste in their mouth from the way last season ended. It is difficult to lose in the first round of the postseason. To add insult to injury is to lose to a rival in the regular season finale, have to play them again the first week of the postseason, and lose to them a second time within 8 days. And that's how Manchester's 2015 ended. And you know it's been on their mind in the weight room, through off-season conditioning and workouts, and through this training camp. The Lancers will be ready. Motueka better be ready when the Game of the Week kicks off at 7:30 on Friday night here on the RVA Sports Network. Manchester could make serious noise in 6A this year. We're looking forward to seeing them on Friday night. The Lancers of Manchester, they are number 7 in our inaugural Big 12 poll. All right. Here comes the top 6. We begin at number 6 with another team looking for that signature postseason win, a team that has certainly turned things around the last couple of years thanks to a disciple of Lauren Johnson. And, of course, that's Coach Gerald Glasgow over at Henrico High School. I am personally high on the Warriors this year. Yes, they lost a lot of good players to graduation, but they have a lot of good players coming back. And they've got some of the heart and soul of that team coming back, most notably Akeem Smith on the defense. The guy's a stud. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. He's tough. He's quick. He's durable. He's not going to tire. He'll get better as the game goes on. And if he can anchor that defense, man, you know, Henrico slipped a little bit defensively last year. If they could put up numbers like they did in 2014, and then find a way to generate some more offense, which they very well may this year. As you may or may not know, their quarterback this year, just a sophomore, is Jalen Jones, who transferred from Verina. Now, he's already got looks from colleges, And that includes the University of Virginia. And so they've got the skill players. Now it's going to be a matter of kind of putting it together. Our buddy Rob Welch, who is the athletic trainer at Henrico, gave us information about their scrimmages with Dinwiddie and L.C. Byrd last week. And while the offense still has work to do, he said the defense looked very, very good. And that does not surprise us. It'll be defense that carries this team. The thing for Henrico is this. Get that offense going so that as you go into latter part of October and November, suddenly you're a train that is rolling on both sides of the ball, and hopefully that will give you the momentum you need to finally get that first playoff win. Because the last 2 years they've made the postseason and they've lost in the first round. Hermitage has been their Achilles heel. Now the schedule for them, somewhat favorable early half. It is a dogfight the back half. They open at home with Mills Godwin on Friday the 2nd. That'll be a good test for them. Wesley Duggar and company coming in. That running game of Godwin testing the Henrico D. Then they'll host Deep Run. Then they go to J.R. Tucker. So it's very possible Henrico could be 3-0 when they start Capital District play on the 23rd at Patrick Henry. Then Verina comes in, and it's interesting. Verina's been down the last couple of years. But Verina has won the matchup with Henrico each of the last two seasons. Imagine the seeding difference Henrico would have had they beaten Verina in 2014 or had they beaten him last year. That's going to be a big test, and it's at Henrico. Then they go to Armstrong. They have to go to Atlee on the 14th of October. And that begins a tough stretch in the rest of the regular season. Highland Springs comes to Henrico on the 21st. You know the Warriors will be sky high for that one. But then they have to go to Lee Davis on the 28th, and then they finish the regular season at home with Hanover coming in November 4th. And who knows? Henrico could be playing for a home game in the first round in 5A South. Hanover could be fighting for a home game in the first round of 4A East. One or both of them could be looking at a top two seed possibly in their respective subregions. And if that happens, then you're looking at trying to get at least two home games. There's a lot that could be riding, so much so that, as we mentioned on last week's broadcast schedule release podcast, that November 4th window for our game of the week, traditionally we do the Tomato Bowl, Lee Davis, Patrick Henry. But this year, it's either going to be that game or it's going to be Hanover-Henrico, depending upon which one has the biggest playoff implications. That's why we allow ourselves the right to flex games at that point of the season. So Henrico is number 6 in our Big 12 poll. The top 5 now. Number 5, the Knights of Thomas Dale. Now here's a team that's got pieces coming back and some very interesting pieces coming in for a team that caught fire late, ended up in the state semifinals before falling just one game short of going to Charlottesville to join Highland Springs at state championship Saturday. You know a Kevin Tucker coach team is going to be ready. They got a good test coming up in the opener Friday night at Cosby. That'll be an excellent test, especially for their defense. Matt Lawton is back at quarterback. He set the school record for most passing yards in a season 1 year ago, so he's ready to go. Back in the backfield, here come Devontae Russell and Max Oxendine. And then there's this freshman wide receiver you may or may not have heard of by the name of Chris Tyree, who is already turning heads and could easily become Lawton's number one favorite target. And if they could get a real spark in the passing game and Lawton can even exceed his passing totals of last season, it could be a very good year for Thomas Dale. Now, for the Knights, I'll tell you this. They are tired of starting 1-1 at best. And, of course, you know what that means. And that's because they usually, second week of the season, are playing L.C. Byrd. That is the case this year. They start at Cosby on Friday. No give me there. And then if they win or if they lose, they have to get ready for the Skyhawks. Thomas Dale wants to beat L.C. Byrd so badly. You have to almost guard against wanting it too much and getting overhyped. You can never get overprepared, but you can certainly be overhyped for a game. The game is at Dale this year, the Friday before Labor Day, September the 2nd. So, first of all, Thomas Dale's got to get through a very tough non-district schedule. At Cosby, host L.C. Byrd, host Verina. Then they get a week off on the 16th, kind of lick their wounds and get their nicks healed. And then into that central district they go. They start with Colonial Heights, and they go to Prince George. But then October, they have to go to Dinwiddie. They have to go to Meadowbrook 2 weeks later. And the following week after Meadowbrook, they have to go to Hopewell, and then Metoka comes to them for their traditional year-end game on the 4th of November. That is a rockin' schedule. Thomasdale will be put to the test, but the good news is that means they're going to be ready when the 6A South playoffs start, no matter where they are in them, just like last year, to make a run where they ended up just a step short of Charlottesville. Of course, state championships no longer in Charlottesville for 5A and 6A have been moved to new locations by the Virginia High School League. Number four, the Panthers of Hermitage. What a season they had a year ago. What a run it's been for Patrick Kane at Hermitage, taking over a moribund program just after the turn of the millennium and making Hermitage relevant again very, very quickly. And they have stayed that way for a decade plus. Now, there is talk in the area that they lost 18 seniors who were big role players in last year's 12-1 season. They got that big deficit in the state quarters down to Highland Springs. They spent the entire second half coming back. They tied the game only to have Highland Springs win it in the final seconds. Ostensibly, that day was the 5A state championship game because I saw Highland Springs beat Indian River in the semis and beat Stonebridge for the championship. And I can tell you right now, Hermitage would have beaten Indian River and Hermitage would have beaten Stonebridge. Hermitage was the second best team in 5A last season. The only problem was they had to meet the best team in the state quarterfinals back on that memorable Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend, the game you heard live here on the RVA Sports Network. Coach Kane likes it tough. You'll recall last year when the VHSL kind of loosened things up in terms of whether you had to play teams within your district if they were multiple classifications apart from you. Hermitage is 5A. Thomas Jefferson was 3A. There was no reason for those two teams to meet. They mutually agreed to end that. Hermitage, what do? They go get a cupcake to replace TJ? No, they got Manchester. And they beat Manchester last year. They got Manchester coming to them on the 14th of October. Manchester's going to be much better than last year. That's going to be a great game. But look at the schedule for Hermitage. Host Highland Springs Friday night. Huge game. Host Meadowbrook next week, the 2nd of September. Week off. Go to Verina for that traditional non-district matchup. Then they go to Colonial, and that's actually where they get a bit of a breather. They play home to Tucker and John Marshall. They go to Deep Run. Then in the middle of it, they have Manchester come in. That'll be a good test for them. And a trap game for Hermitage this year might actually be the week after that. If they get too far up for Manchester, they may forget about going to Axel Stadium to take on Mills Godwin. And that may be a mistake. They go to Glen Allen on the 28th. They finish at Douglas Freeman closing night. Could Freeman and Hermitage be playing for top dog in the Colonial District once again? Woody Woodbourne turns the Eli Odom era over and begins his 1 year as starter at quarterback, the senior. And we'll see if the next generation can step up and keep Hermitage where they have been, and that is at or near the top of the Central Region for a decade plus. Hermitage at number four. At number three, it is Billy Mills and his crew from Dinwiddie County. The Generals are set and ready for what could be a very special season. Now, they had one a few years ago where they ran the table and won the state championship. And there are some who are rumbling that they have the formula, the system, and the athletes to make that run again. You'll recall they won their first playoff game last year against Monacan, knocking out the 2014 state semifinalists. They had to come to Hanover, and even Hanover not having Clayton Cheatham that night, Marcus Bazala running the show, they beat Dinwiddie and ended the general season at 8-4. Well, Bryce Witt is back, and most notably, he's got weapons to throw to. Kavon Pope is back, and I think we're going to see a huge season from the junior kind of tight end, wide out hybrid who can do so much. He can block. He can catch the quick slant. He can catch one over the middle. He can go deep. He can beat you one-on-one thanks to his size. So lots of things that Coach Mills and the offense can do. Then you got Ty Freeland. He's gonna be in there, not only in the backfield, but also, you know, as a slot receiver. They can line him up many different ways. So Dinwiddie is just loaded this year, and that's just three people I'm talking about. Defense looks good. Great test to begin. They got to go back on the bus and go back to where their season ended last year. What a better way to start the year by playing a good team, a rival team, in a place where you walked off the field for the last time last year. You want to walk off that field this time with a win. And you'll recall Hanover went to Dinwiddie in the opener last year and beat them. And so Dinwiddie knows they've lost their last two to Hanover, and they will be ready for our game of the week next Friday night when we get back to WHAN radio, as well as being live online on the RVA Sports Network. So really, and I'm personally really high on the Dinwiddie Generals this year. I think it could be a very special season for them. And they crack our top three at number three. At number two on the NBC 12 RBA Sports Network Big 12 High School Football Poll, the 2013, the 2014 5A state champions, the 2012 Group AAA 5A state champions. And last year, they saw their season come to an uncharacteristic end in the second round of 5A South against Hermitage, and that would be the Skyhawks of L.C. Byrd. Now, they are having to kind of turn a page as well. Hermitage lost a lot. L.C. Byrd didn't lose as much as Hermitage did to graduation, but Jalen Elliott has departed. He's now working, of course, up in South Bend. But you know what? L.C. Byrd's always had a history of great running backs, and we can go all the way back into the 1990s for that. They've had some great ones. And Shedrick McCall looks like he's going to be the next one. Now, he was a backup last year, and he rushed for close to 70 yards a game. He gets the call this year. You know they're going to have the horses up front. So I think things are going to be just fine on the offensive game, and you're going to see typical L.C. Byrd football. Run, 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 dominate you, pass when we have to keep you off balance, and play incredibly solid defense. And how can you start on defense? Well, how about two guys in the middle of your setup who already have committed to ACC schools? As you've got Isaiah Moore, who's on his way to NC State, and you've got Rayshard Ashby on the way to Virginia Tech, both in the linebacking core. For my money, Ashby's the best player in the Central Region. That's just my personal opinion. There are a lot of great players in the Central Region, including a couple in the number one team who we'll talk about in a minute. But Ashby is something special. He is a game changer at his position defensively for L.C. Byrd. He's the guy in a 7-7 tie late who can force the fumble or who can tip and get the interception. He's athletic as well as tough, and change a football game. He has that mentality, he has that ability, and he's shown it multiple times. So L.C. Byrd is going to be a tough out for anyone at any time, especially when we get in postseason. Number one, they're hungry. You know, three-time defending state champion last year, you'd think, you know, maybe get a little, you know, complacent or whatnot. It doesn't happen with the David Bedwell team. And you know they were disappointed with that second round out. They did not enjoy watching Highland Springs hoist the trophy in Charlottesville. They want to get back, and there are now roughly, you know, half the players on the team have never tasted that state championship because, you know, the seniors of that team have been gone. You know, only the sophomores of that team are now the seniors of this year's team. And they want to end their career with a win like they watched seniors do a couple of years ago. And like they watched the seniors a year before that do when they were freshmen, and most of them were either on the JV squad or maybe they got picked up late and they were around for the playoffs, but they were on the sideline. So there you go. They'll start at Meadowbrook, then they have to go to Thomas Dale, and then they have to go to Midlothian. They finally get a home game on September 16th, and when they do, Manchester comes in. So the first half of the season's the big part for L.C. Byrd. They go to Clover Hill the 23rd, they host Monacan on the 30th, and then they get a week off, and then they host Cosby. The back half of the schedule, not nearly as tough. Their last true test will be Cosby at home on the 14th. They finish with George Wythe, Huguenot, and James River, and then we'll see. The night of November 4th, it'll be the annual tabulation of, you know, who got the number one seed in 5A South. Is it Byrd? Is it Highland Springs? Is it Hermitage? Did strength of schedule come into play? Did playing in the Dominion District hurt Byrd? Did playing in the Colonial District hurt Hermitage? How does Manchester fit into all this? Because Manchester plays both Byrd and Hermitage, but they don't play, who we'll talk about in a moment, who is the number one team in our poll. So, you know, those are some of the things that came into play last year when we were frantically trying to crunch the numbers, and we ended up seeing that Highland Springs, thanks to strength of schedule, even though they had lost to Hermitage, they got so many bonus rider points by beating all the teams in the Capital District that they got that number one seed, and that gave them home field advantage for that critical state quarterfinal where they held off Hermitage in that wild comeback on the way to the state title. So LC Bird at number two. And, of course, number one, as expected, I'm of the adage, this is the way I personally vote. When you start a new season, if you've got a state top dog, you put them at number one, even if they've lost some pieces, and you let them defend their title. And so I certainly voted for Highland Springs, and the voting was unanimous, by the way, the unanimous number one team in our NBC 12 RVA Sports Network Big 12 High School Football Poll, the defending 2015 5A state champions, Highland Springs. The Springers are back, and it's going to be a totally different season for Lauren Johnson and company because they've been the hunter for so many years, and now they are the hunted. And it begins with the team that they had the biggest playoff tussle with on opening night when they have to go to Hermitage. And you know Hermitage is going to want revenge. Then they get their home opener the following week against Norview in a game that originally the VHSL listed as being on Saturday the 3rd, but that is incorrect. It is a Friday night game. Friday the 2nd, Norview at Highland Springs. Then the Springers have to go to Meadowbrook, and then they'll take a week off. They won't play the 16th, and then off they go into the Capital District schedule. It starts with Armstrong at home. Then they have to finish September at Atlee. And then a good stretch. They have Hanover and Lee Davis back-to-back weeks in early October, but they're both home games. The big one, they go to Henrico October 21st. That will be a huge game. You'll remember 2 years ago when Highland Springs and Henrico played at Henrico, they moved that game to a Saturday because there was still all that construction going on at Henrico High School, and they were worried about traffic overflow and stuff at nighttime, and they moved it to a Saturday afternoon affair. And then Highland Springs will have senior night against Patrick Henry, and then they have to go to Verina this year. And hey, you know what? The Verina Blue Devils, I know they've been out of the playoffs the last 2 years. That's uncharacteristic for Verina. Go back in the records and find the last time Verina missed the postseason in back-to-back years. Mm-hmm. So that one could be for playoff seeding. You never know. Highland Springs could be trying to fight for the top seed in 5A South. Verina could be trying to fight for a playoff position in 5A South. And we'll see what happens there on that closing night. November the 4th. But Juwan Carter is back, should be ready to rock and roll for opening night. Of course, Makai Becton, Michael Green coming back along the front. And that's one of the big things for Highland Springs this year. The front lines, offensively, defensively, a lot of experience comes back. So, you know, it's not going to be easy to replace a Kevon Wallace and a Greg Dortch at the wideout positions. Now, Billy Kemp comes in, and he's certainly going to help. But they're going to have some new playmakers come in and step up. And they're going to have to find somebody who can run the rock. But frankly, for a program like Highland Springs, they're going to come up with athletes all the time. Top-caliber linemen are hard to come by. And if they're experienced and part of a state championship team, it makes it even better when they come back. For example, I think one of the big things, you know, Becton's back, Green's back. You look to Hermitage. Suleiman Kamara is gone. He's off to college now. And he was the anchor of both of those lines. And now Hermitage has to find a new anchor. When you don't have to find an anchor for your offensive and defensive lines in high school football, and you've got two that are so talented like Highland Springs does, that makes all the difference in the world. So there you go, folks. The brand new preseason NBC 12 RVA Sports Network Big 12 High School Football Poll. Number one, Highland Springs. Number two, LC Bird. Number three, Dinwiddie. Number four, Hermitage. Number five, Thomas Dale. Number six, Henrico. Number seven, Manchester. Number eight, Hanover. Number nine, Hopewell. Number 10, Cosby. Number 11, Douglas Freeman. And number 12, Lee Davis. There was one other team. It was interesting, the voting as it came in, there were a lot of different combinations in terms of, you know, so-and-so was here on one poll, and some, but they were three things lower in somebody else's poll or whatnot. But there was a lot of amazingly consistency in the voting. Because of all that, we only had one team that got votes that didn't make the Big 12, and that was Monacan. And certainly, I would say they are on the outside looking in, and they're like knocking at the door. I am a Monacan believer this year. I believe that they've got plenty of pieces coming back. Yes, they've lost some, but I think they've have enough now that where they have established that program as a program that can win in and out every year. Sador Flood's got to stay healthy. You know, he reminds me in his circumstance a lot of Clayton Cheatham at Hanover. Both of them really need to stay healthy. They need a full season this year for their respective teams to come out to their full potential. You know, and teams that did not make our poll that maybe normally would have made our poll, I think of Atlee under new head coach Matt Gray. I think there's just a lot of uncertainty with all the guys who graduated from there last year, from J.J. Givens on down, Ray Gillespie on the line, and several others as well. You know, where are they going to stand? How are they going to go? How different are they going to be under the former defensive coordinator for Randolph-Macon and that sort of thing? I think of Meadowbrook, and Meadowbrook with, of course, the monster early non-district schedule each and every year. You know, they really, holy cow, every year they start off so tough. They host LC Bird this Friday. They go to Hermitage next Friday. And then they host Highland Springs on the 9th. And then they're idle. They get Petersburg at home. They go to Colonial Heights. And then listen to October at Hopewell, home to Metoica, home to Thomas Dale, at Prince George, and then the final game is home to Dinwiddie. Good news for the Monarchs, they got some good teams coming to them. They've got to go to Hermitage, they've got to go to Hopewell, but those are their two tough ones. They get six home games, which means Bird, Highland Springs, Metoica, Thomas Dale, Dinwiddie all have to come to Meadowbrook. They can pull off one or two there. Monarchs in the discussion in 5A. Of course, 5A South is going to be the gauntlet this year. You have to think that Highland Springs, LC Bird, and Hermitage will be three. I think Henrico will be make it four in terms of four of the eight playoff spots. And then after that, you're talking, you know, who else is going to be in there? Douglas Freeman, obviously, in the conversation. A lot of people saying Lee Davis is going to reload this year and that last year was not a fluke. I have not seen them in live action yet. I am going to see them in their final scrimmage this week, which will be after this podcast has recorded. So my jury is still out on Lee Davis because I've got to see them live before I, you know, write the preview article for them for the Herald Progress, which will be out on September 1st, along with our Hanover preview. So I'm really intrigued by my trip to Lee Davis on Wednesday night. I think Mills Godwin has something to say in 5A this year. I think they're going to be improved. Metoica is going to try to prove that they were not a one-year fluke last year. And Verina is desperate to get back. And then you've got, you know, the teams on the outside looking in, like Deep Run with new head coach Chad Hornick. J.R. Tucker trying to become relevant again. Glenn Allen with their, you know, brand-new head coach, Coach Camp, who was the defensive coordinator at LC Bird. He coached a year down in Atlanta. He's come back. He's going to instill a Skyhawk-type mentality at Glenn Allen, which I think is the perfect elixir for that program. They needed somebody like that. We'll have the Jaguars at our game of the week hosting Patrick Henry on September 9th. Really looking forward to seeing what he is going to be doing with that program. You know, Prince George wants to be in the conversation. So, you know, 5A South, as usual, going to be just a gauntlet run there. And, you know, you don't want to be the eighth seed because you end up playing a team the last 3 years. If you were the number eight seed, you ended up playing the eventual state champion. Ugh. So, in 6A South, you know, James River and Clover Hill kind of on the outside looking in. James River with the nice run 2 years ago, lost a lot of seniors, would like to kind of get back to it, but they're going to have a really tough schedule having to deal with the Monacans, the Manchesters, the Birds, the Cosbys. We'll see what happens there. And, of course, you know, Manchester, Thomas Dale, Cosby, I think in terms of 6A, that certainly the opportunity is there for them to make it into the postseason and then to do something with that postseason opportunity. You know, we will see in 4A. I think Dinwiddie's tops, Hanover after that, Monacan not far behind, and we'll see what happens with that as well. And in 3A, I think it's Hopewell and everybody else, to be honest with you, in terms of this area. You know, what Hopewell has to do is, again, iron sharpen iron in that Central District schedule. A trip to Hanover will be a good test for Cameron Hill and company so that when they get to November and they start playing teams in 3A East, they have a shot of coming out of that, all the way out of that, and making it to the state championship. And let's not forget about a couple of things. 2A, we've got Perennial Powers in Goochland and King William. 1A, you've got Essex that we always keep an eye on. And Essex gets a chance to play a big dog with a non-district game against Deep Run in September before Deep Run starts their Colonial District schedule. Coach Hornick over there, the former coach of TJ, he's high on his players there at the Wildcats. He seems to think that you know, the problem the last year or two may have just been trying to get everybody out, everybody together, everybody on the same page, you know, and coach the effort and then get the execution out of it. Lord knows it was a great program almost from the get-go when they opened in 2003. By 2006, they won the Colonial District title. And we saw several different years of Deep Run teams back in the 2000s who were just fantastic. So the talent's out there. The question is, can you harness it and can you get it all in the right direction and have that chemistry? And Coach Hornick is a good man to do it. I thought that was one of the better hires of the offseason. I thought that was a good hire. I thought camp at Glen Allen was an excellent hire. And, of course, I watch a lot of Randolph-Macon football with my work with the Herald Progress, and I thought Matt Gray at Attlee was also an excellent hire. So there's just so much to get ready for this season, folks. And we can't wait to share it with you here each week on the podcast. Now, try to keep this at 60 minutes, which means I've got 8 minutes left to talk about everything else. Holy cow. We had great field hockey doubleheader on Monday to start our Twitter coverage in 2016-17. Attlee coming back with a 3-2 come-from-behind win over Mills Godwin at home to open the season. And then we headed over 295 to Glen Allen, and we watched the Jaguars of Glen Allen in field hockey. Pretty impressive. They beat Hanover 4-1 in their opener, and I think Glen Allen may give teams like Douglas Freeman and Deep Run and Mills Godwin a bit of a scare this season. Could be a four-team conversation in Conference 11 and actually a 5-6-team conversation because Ty Owens has always got Henrico ready to go. They're a tough one anytime. And Lee Davis, I think, is on the way back up. They lost so much to graduation a couple of years ago. It was an off-season last year for them. They got a 3-1 win to open the year against J.R. Tucker Monday night, and I think that they will look good. Watch out for Prince George in field hockey. We've got our eyes on them. We're hoping to get them, if not on our broadcast schedule, definitely on our live Twitter coverage schedule. We saw them at work at the preseason jamboree down at River City a week and a half ago. They've got so many good returning players. Prince George field hockey this year. Keep an eye on them. Of course, as we record this, it's Tuesday afternoon, so we're getting ready to head over to Attlee for our first game of the week of the year, which is boys volleyball, the rematch of last year's 5A South Regional Quarterfinal, where Deep Run was leading 2-1. Looked like they were going to cruise to a 4-set win, and then Attlee came back from the dead and won in 5 sets to clinch a 5A state tournament bid and end Deep Run's season. Well, you know the Wildcats remember that. And so they come to Attlee tonight. And that's going to be a great one. And, of course, by the time you get this podcast, that game will be in the books. But if you want to listen to the archive version of it, always available. All of our games that we play and we broadcast live on our YouTube channel are archived immediately following, and you can go back and listen to them at any time. You want to hear Attlee win the state softball title last June? Listen to it at RBA Sports Network's YouTube channel. You want to hear some of the football games, basketball games from last year? Just go to our YouTube channel, search our library of videos. Quickly, our football broadcast schedule is this. Friday night, game of the week, RVA Sports Network YouTube channel, Matoaka at number 7 Manchester. We will hit the air live at 7:15 at rvasportsnetwork.com. Links will be available also at chesterfieldcountysports.net. We send links out on Twitter too. What you need to do right now is go to youtube.com/rvasportsnetwork and click subscribe. We won't spam you. We won't send you a bunch of mess you don't want. What we will send you is an alert every time we go on the air live and every time we post a new video on our YouTube channel. So go to youtube.com/RVA Sports Network, click subscribe, and you'll never miss another live high school sports broadcast. So Friday night, 7:15 airtime, 7:30 kick, Matoaka at Manchester. That is our premiere of our 15th season of high school football and the game of the week. Next week, normally we talked in the last podcast that we're going to have a Tuesday and a Friday game of the week showcasing several different sports. Next week, we're going to move that Tuesday one to Thursday and have a doubleheader of football heading into Labor Day weekend. On Thursday night on the RVA Sports Network exclusively on our YouTube channel, it will be the battle of new head coaches, Chad Hornick at Deep Run, Matt Gray of Attlee. The Raiders come to the Wildcats. We'll have the Wildcats on our Game of the Week for the first time in 6 years on Thursday night, September 1st. We'll go on the air at 6:30. And then that next night on Friday, WHAN Radio joins us for the rest of the regular season. All of our games can be heard on 102.9 FM, 1430 AM, and online at rvasportsnetwork.com beginning September 2nd, next Friday, when we'll be live at Hanover for the 4A showdown between number 3 Dinwiddie and number 8 Hanover. Rest of the September schedule, the other volleyball games that we've got set so far, including a state championship rematch, our complete broadcast schedule through the end of September is up live now at rvasportsnetwork.com. That's rvasportsnetwork.com. Quick note, got a chance to go to Randolph-Macon this morning. Check out the football team at practice. Talk to head coach Pedro Aruzzo. We'll have our team preview of Macon in the September 1st edition of the Herald Progress, and we'll have extensive coverage, of course, of Randolph-Macon through the Herald Progress and at Hanover Sports on Twitter and HanoverCountySports.net here on the RVA Sports Network. University of Richmond getting ready to get started, and I was talking to Mark and Matt over at NBC 12 yesterday about, guys, September 10th, what do you do? September 10th, we've got the battle at Bristol. Sam Rogers and Virginia Tech against Tennessee there at Bristol Motor Speedway. The same night, Virginia is in Oregon to take on the Ducks. Okay? That same evening, University of Richmond is home against Norfolk State in football action. Randolph-Macon has a rare evening game at Day Field against Averett University. And, oh, yeah, there's this NASCAR race going on at Richmond International Raceway. September 10th is going to be absolutely crazy. Stay with us on Twitter that day for complete coverage on the RVA Sportsnet and our Twitter family. Last quick note, the Virginia Volleyball Showcase coming up Labor Day weekend, next Friday and Saturday, September 2nd and 3rd. And RVA Sports Network is going to be there both days to provide extensive coverage on our Twitter network, keep you updated on the scores, the standings, the tournament seeds, and whatnot. And we hope to have the executive director of the Richmond Volleyball Club, Skip Weston, as a guest on this podcast 1 week from now to preview the Virginia Volleyball Showcase. Over 24 of the best teams across the Commonwealth, boys and girls, come in for 2 great days of volleyball action there at RVC. So we hope to have Skip as our guest here on Central Region Now next week. Our next podcast will be Friday night after high school football wraps up. Our first post-football Friday, Central Region Now. We get home from our game of the week. We get the podcast going just as soon as On the Sidelines on NBC 12 is complete. And we normally have it up and ready for you to listen to, either download or stream, a little bit after midnight, about 12:30 or so on Friday night. So stay up with us and listen to the podcast and find out everything you need to know. Or if you're not that much of a night owl, pour yourself a cup of coffee and join us first thing Saturday morning. We'll be waiting for you. Our podcast's always available at all of our websites at the top of the page. You can stream them at rvasportsnetwork.com, ChesterfieldCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net, and HanoverCountySports.net. All right, my friends, thanks so much for being with us for this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. Podcast, of course, intended solely for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast, other use of our podcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC is strictly prohibited. Don't forget our fall schedule, 2 podcasts every week through football season, 1 in the middle of the week and 1 after football on Friday nights. And our Super 6 polls for field hockey and volleyball will debut the second week of September. Give those sports a couple of weeks to get in and get started. Give us a chance to get into school, get football going, and those Super 6 polls will debut the second week of September. Thanks, everybody. Rob Witham saying have a good one, and we'll see you on the sidelines and talk to you live Friday night from Manchester.